Don't forget to check in on our new favorite team, the Atlanta Braves.
We have adopted the Atlanta Braves.
We're now Braves fans.
Yeah.
Oh. So the morning show adopted the Orioles.
Yeah.
You guys adopted the Braves.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you guys going to do?
Hey, I don't know.
Let me tell you about the morning guy. So, well, now I'll give Slareth a pass. And that's hard to do in this situation. So we stole their deal, right? They said the Orioles, right? So like, let's adopt a team. That's fun,
sure.
Right? So we said, well, let's go with the Braves. Fine. They're a fun team to watch. They're a good team. And then Evans comes in and producer comes in, Simmer, and they're loud, like, you can't take the, you know, they won 104 games last year. You got to pick a scrappy team. And then it's like, bro, y'all's team that y'all adopted won 101 last year. But they didn't even realize how many games their team won.
So were they saying, although they made a mistake, initially were they saying you should pick a team that's more in the vein of the Rockies, of like the disadvantages?
No, just not a favorite to be a team in the postseason.
Like not a World Series favorite here. Just more of a scrappy kind of team that maybe has a better chance than the Rockies to be successful.
Okay.
Our response, though, is like, hey, you dump someone that's not on your level, you don't hunt at that same level anymore. Mm. You're always rising up.
You gotta elevate.
Yeah, elevate. That's
Coach Prime.
Elevate and dominate.
Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Elevate and dominate.
21 ways to pick a new baseball
scrappy team. Be the Rays. You know, the Rays are a scrappy team.
The Rays are always kind of one of those, you know.
Like disadvantaged, small market, and they find way, or they have found ways through the years to achieve success. That's a good one. That's a good one.
So you guys are Rays fans.
Well, we'll see. Because if it's up to me, I'm going for the big dogs. I'm going for some money.
We're the new Dodgers show.
Welcome to the Dodgers, baby.
Otani definitely didn't gamble. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Mookie Betts every day. Every day getting the home run. Like, what are we doing here?
Day two. Going to the Dodgers, huh?
God, Mookie's going crazy.
Yeah, he is.
I heard you guys talk about, or do you want to set it up? Go ahead and set it up.
You heard that?
Go ahead and set it up.
The health?
Yeah.
The health. So that's where I'm at. And so I wanted to give you a couple hours to come up with your answer here. So I my thing is, because I heard your promo, good promo, by the way, and Josh is like, yeah, I had an epiphany last night. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's all about the health now. So I'm like, all right.
Stick to your guns, Josh.
He couldn't. I had him on the ground, and I was about to choke him out.
Josh,
He had to tap out. He had nowhere to go. So that is my question. Okay, what does health mean? Like, how are you going to operate here the last 6 games? Because you're like, seeding doesn't matter. It's all about health. And I'm like, okay, I understand that. But what does that mean? We're not going to play anybody the next 6 games. We're going to play them one quarter. If they're a little bit hurt, they play every other game. Like, what does that mean to you, like, health?
Yeah, so it doesn't mean actually, for me, yeah, it means if guys are injured, get them rest. But moreover, like you said, you had an epiphany, and I was driving down the road listening to you guys, that you had an epiphany when Aaron Gordon fell from like level the rim down on his hip.
Right on his right hip.
My thing is not as much that, because if you play basketball, you're going to risk injury.
Yep.
My epiphany was on last Wednesday and Friday watching a team that looked like they had absolutely no gas in the tank, and I got flashbacks of 2 postseasons ago when it looked like no one had legs against the Warriors. They like the mind and the body weren't connected. They were just cooked. And that's where I think that this team could end up being if they don't play their cards right down the stretch. And they have a schedule that perfectly lends itself to resting guys. And I'm not saying, hey, 1 through 5, you guys are like platoon resting. But you remember what they did last Wednesday and last Friday? It was like, Aaron Gordon and Jamal, you guys are out this game.
Yeah.
Next game, it's Jokic and whoever it was. They kind of like staggered the health. And I just like the idea of mixing days in that are off. In my mind, I had the playing game lasting a week. It's 4 days. It's the 19th. The playoffs start in 17 days from right now. We're 17 days
away. We're not healthy.
With 7 games remaining on the schedule. And you can't, I don't think, and I hope I'm not rambling here, but you can't
par for the course.
You can't protect all guys all the time. But what you can do is try to mitigate certain risks. Yeah. So like when I say that, like I'm not promised tomorrow, right? But what you won't see me personally doing, you won't see me on a tube on the back of a boat. Mm. You're not going to see me swimming in open. I just not. And I might, because I know people die every year doing that. And maybe it saves 1% because I could get, you know, I could get killed downtown on Friday, right? And so could you, Stokely, so be careful. But
that's why I'm not going. I'm out.
Stokes the smart one.
I'm out. Right.
No, Zach is banging the table for us to be in there. Stoke is like, yo, I'm out. I might have to go and stop, man.
I'm kidding, but anytime you can try to mitigate and shave off a couple percentages and just preserve what you can preserve, I watched what I saw on Wednesday and Friday night, and I was concerned from the level of energy that the guys had. And
well, you don't think, just sorry to cut you off, you were rambling a long time, yeah. So I wanted to help you out there. But so you don't think that, like, that time, when did you say the play-in game?
It's like the 16th through the 19th, and the first round starts on the 20th.
4 days.
Our last game's the 14th.
Yeah.
So you got, like, 6 days off?
Six days off.
So you don't think that's enough? Like, how much time is enough to where, because you have to walk, like you said, you have to walk the fine line to where these guys aren't rusty, right? That's a long layoff. All of a sudden, like, your conditioning is going to drop a little bit. Are you out of basketball shape because you didn't play against the Grizzlies and Spurs the last two games? So that's, like, my biggest concern here is you're going to see a rusty team that's not quite on it because they let off the gas a little bit.
I was hoping you'd say that.
Oh!
Honestly, okay. I really was.
Okay, well, then help me out.
Because I set the trap.
Help me out.
I set the trap, and you fell right in.
This better be a good trap. I think I got a solution to this.
They've earned the trust.
Mm.
That team looked like a disaster down the stretch last year. They lost 3 of their last 4. They lost 5 of their last 7. We've celebrated 2 championships in the last 2 years in this town, and both teams looked like a disaster heading into the playoffs. Now look at game 1. They kicked the door down like gangbusters after losing, like I said, 5 of the last 7 games of the year, 3 of the last 4. So I've already seen what it looks like when we've had these concerns, and it shows up like not at all in the playoffs. And if any team has earned my trust, it's them, because I've watched them do. That's assuming if they lose. They're not even losing right now. That's assuming if they stumble down the stretch, they've earned the trust. I watch what it looked like at the end of the year, and then 6 days later on game 1, and we have the same starting lineup as a year ago. For me, they've earned that trust.
And that's something that we've talked about with Malone and his rants and sometimes the stuff he goes on after the games of like, hey, benefit of the doubt, trust, whatever term you want to use to associate with this team. It's just been one championship, but we know who Nicole is. We know who Jamal is when the lights are the brightest. Like, they have earned that benefit of the doubt. That's exactly what it is. Like, trust in this championship core and the 5 best starting players in the world to go out and do what we know that they can do. And that's, I have more trust in them to do that than I do fear of what the final 6 or 7 games could be.
Phil?
I mean, I'm kind of eating at it because for me, every year is a new year. And last year, we don't have some of these key pieces in the sense of not the starters, but I'm going to keep saying the Bruce Brown, right? That's a key person that helped us out through the stretch. We don't have that. Our bench is not as good as last year's. All right? We are not as healthy as last year either. And we don't know what's up with Jamal Murray. All right? Because if we get into this playoff situation, Jamal hasn't played the whole entire time until the playoffs, and then he has a setback in these playoffs, then what happens?
That is what I'm concerned about.
He has to play. He's going to, I think he's close. If he's going through warm-ups, that to me said they're just being real cautious, and then I'm expecting them to see him against the Clippers. But I'm not concerned about them losing games late here. Yeah. I'm just concerned about them getting out of the rhythm, the routine, and then all of a sudden have to get it back going and being a little bit rusty.
Just minimize minutes.
Right, and that might be the best avenue, but that's my biggest concern here is, and you know, they didn't play well down the stretch, you're right. The Avs didn't play well down the stretch when they won it, but to take your foot off the throttle and maybe get a little bit rusty here. Jamal hasn't played forever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you're throwing him back in the mix. And I get it. Look, this is a veteran starting 5. They played together a lot, but still, you're probably gonna be facing a good team there. You know, and so you gotta be on your game here in the playoffs, and that's just my concern.
How do you think they looked last night?
A little sloppy.
Yeah.
A little sloppy. I mean, they had their moments that looked like, okay, this thing's gonna be put away, and then you know, all of a sudden, you got great opportunities, great looks, and guys just can't make buckets and knock down shots, and then they don't get stops. They give up offensive rebounds, and it's a ball game.
If you see this group play the next 7 games, I think you're going to see really sloppy March basketball. This is what it's going to look like. So the idea of, and while there's certain credence to it from you, that it's not enough for me to move the needle from the health standpoint. Mm. And when I say health, I'm not just talking about not having guys injured. I'm talking about going into the postseason with a full tank of gas, ready to freaking step on that gas. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. I mean, that was big chunks of that game. Like, this is bizarre. This is one of the worst teams in the league.
It was like summer break. Let's just get through this.
Y'all. Yeah, and they did the same thing up to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
What, they lose three in a row?
Three out of a row.
I mean, so I'm not overly concerned. We'll see what it looks like. The Jamal thing, don't forget, Jamal's a notorious, notorious slow starter. Notorious slow starter. He's already missed more games than we have in front of us now. He hasn't played since March 21st.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like, in that, talking about playing guys and keeping them sharp, you might need to see Jamal here, him specifically. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what it looks like.
Go Nuggets, go Braves.
All right, go Nuggets, go Braves. And Stope, don't let those Colts scars steer you. Don't let those Colts scars steer you.
Dude, those won't ever go anywhere. I should have four Super Bowl rings, bro. Okay? I'm haunted.
And how about this? If Jokic won that MVP, he'd be getting his fourth, and that'd be as many as LeBron James at 28 years old.
They didn't want that.
Think about that. He's already going to match Larry and Magic, but he would have as many as LeBron at 28 had he won the MVP last year. So, all right, we are off and rolling just like that. Plenty of stuff going on. Blockbuster trade in the NFL that I can't wait to get into. But where we'll start is last night we saw a glimpse of the past, the present, and the future, all rolled up into one night in Denver sports. That's coming up next. All right, last night, I believe we saw a glimpse of the past, the present, and the future, all rolled up into one night in Denver sports. Couple different layers to this one, Phil. How are you, man?
Ah, man, I'm good.
Beautiful day here.
Beautiful, and it's only going to get better.
Yes.
Friday, right? It's supposed to be
Friday's
like
going to be crazy. Tomorrow's supposed to be gorgeous. I may be trying to sneak in around to golf tomorrow.
I'm thinking about it. What time are you going?
I don't know. I had to be here early for the Mile High Hoops podcast, but if I can figure out enough of our content tomorrow, today, I will be out there.
Let's plan on it.
The past, the present, and the future. The past, Carmelo Anthony, passed by Nikola Jokic on the Nuggets all-time scoring list. The present, the current MVP favorite, coming out in ESPN straw poll, it is his to lose, and he's not going to lose it.
Oh, no, he ain't losing it.
And then the future, watching 20-year-old Victor Wembanyama, Wemby. Fly around and almost put together a quadruple double.
It's not fair. It's not fair watching that young man run up and down the court. He's 19 years old.
Oh, I thought he turned 20. Yeah. So
I think he's 19 years old.
Incredible.
So he hasn't even got his grown man strength yet.
Not even close. He turned 20 in January.
Okay, so he's 20.
Yeah, he turned 20 during the season.
Okay, so he's a little bit older.
So started the season as a teenager.
Yeah.
In the best basketball league in the world filled with grown men. And you're right, he doesn't even have his man strength yet.
I haven't seen one muscle on that young man yet. But when it comes...
Dude, he's still going through puberty.
He really is. He doesn't have a speck of hair on him. Looks just like you.
I mean, that guy, he is turning into an NBA player that you have to see in person.
Mm.
That, like, at some point in your life, you have got to see him play in person.
Now, how tall is he? 7?
He is 7'4".
Okay, 7'4".
I mean, he's bigger than Yao Ming, but he's not lumbering. Or I should say Yao. I think Yao is 7'6". So I'll double check this. So he may be just a tick shorter than Yao. But he doesn't look like one of these big guys that we've seen throughout basketball. The
clumsy kind, just kind of running up and down the court, and you're like, man, they have no control.
He's graceful.
He really is.
He moves with precision. He knows angles. And defensively, this time last year when he was being talked about as, you know, the greatest prospect since LeBron James, I remember saying to Stoke at the time, I said, I don't know how he's going to be offensively in this league as a young man. But defensively, my bet is he is a game changer right out of the break because he's got the most length in the NBA history.
Yep.
But he's also an athlete, and he also plays hard on every possession. And those three things together, I mean, what do you have, 9 blocks? He altered three times as many. You know what I'm saying? He makes guys do U-turns more than anyone else in the NBA.
I'm thinking, like, how do you shoot over a man like that, Zach? And maybe it's because I'm 5'9", and it's like he's 7'4". But somebody that's either, you know, even 6'5", 6'6", how do you shoot over a man that tall?
You typically don't try unless you're Reggie Jackson looking like a goofball.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
Just, like, just swallow that thing. Well, it was funny to watch Jokic sort of download Wemby and what it's going to take to get shots off, because he failed a few times, and Wemby's just going to go up and reach a distance that you think is impossible.
Jokic was smiling at times.
He was.
This is going to be hard when he gets older.
I think he views it as a real challenge, and I don't think his shot attempts are an accident on a night last night. I mean, Jokic had 13 shots in the first quarter. That's more than games this year for Jokic, and ends up with 32 shot attempts. I think he took it
personal.
Yeah, personal, but not in like a threatened way of like, this is a new challenge and I am just going to lean into it.
Yeah, I mean, if Jokic is smart, he's like, look, this is a kid that's doing some great things right now. Now imagine when he starts to get into his bags of tricks.
Yeah.
I got to start figuring out what I can do to stop this young man from on defensive side and also shooting wise. What am I going to be able to do? And I know he's going to get better, but I also got to get smarter because I'm not getting any younger.
Phil, I'm referring to him as the future. He's the present.
Mm.
He's leading the NBA in blocks as a rookie. No one has blocked more shots this year than Victor Wembanyama. And he's second most likely candidate to win Defensive Player of the Year in his first season. And I got to be honest with you, I think Rudy Gobert is going to end up winning it, which I think might be an NBA record for someone who's won it the most times. I think he's already won it three.
Okay.
No one's ever won it four. I think I want to say like Ben Wallace won it three times.
Big Ben.
I'll circle back and double check. But he is going to finish runner up or win it in his first year in the NBA that started when he was a teenager. And all due respect to Rudy Gobert, I don't think he alters more possessions than Victor Wembanyama.
No,
I don't.
No, but he's young, Zach. And you know how this league goes. NFL, NBA, it's about respect. And that's why someone like Rudy Gobert may end up winning it this year. Now, Wemby, man, he got some stuff, but he's going to be good for a very, very long time, Zach. Next year, he's going to win it. The year after that, for the defensive side, at least, he's going to win it. So, man, I'm excited for it. Tell me this.
Yeah.
The Jokic dunk on Wemby, is that considered a dunk? like people are on this Twitter stuff, like, oh, he, you know, Jokic got a dunk out on him.
I wouldn't say like any sort of poster or anything.
Yeah, like
that,
but it's Jokic though. Jokic usually doesn't dunk like that.
No, he had three dunks in the first quarter.
Yeah,
I think I heard on the broadcast two games back. I think it was two games back he dunked, and I think they said it was like his 16th dunk of the year. It was in game like, you know, 70-something. I hope I didn't mishear that. By the way, Ben Wallace with four Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Yeah, and also Dikembe Mutombo won it four times as well.
So Dikembe's won it four. Is Rudy at three, or can we double
Rudy's
check?
Rudy's at three.
Rudy's at three, yep, so he'll tie the all-time record. Yep. By the way, Ben Wallace, greatest, you know, Jokic right now is the greatest developmental story in NBA history, the only second-round pick to ever win the title. Ben Wallace, greatest undrafted player in NBA history.
That's cool.
Already in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to have a teammate. Your buddy Chauncey Billups going with him.
That's a good one.
And we'll circle back to that later. But it was really cool to watch those two guys share the floor last night with each other. Ends up being a sloppy Nuggets win. I mean, it's March basketball, dude. This is, man, there's possessions. I'm like, what are we watching
here? They're just trying to get through, Zach. They're just trying to make it. They're like, summer break is here. We're here for it. But we also have to stay tuned in. And, yeah, it's sloppy basketball right now, Zach.
Jokic passing one of your childhood heroes, Carmelo Anthony, last night.
He did.
It's just another benchmark, another feather in the cap, another historical, you know, note of Jokic's career. And he did it in less than 1,200 less shots. 1,200 less shots. 1,203 less shots than Carmelo Anthony, and ended up passing him last night.
I think this tells truth, right? You know, people, you know, don't like Carmelo because of what he has done here in the past, and especially now after going on record about Jokic. But there's one thing about this is Carmelo was a great basketball player, especially before Jokic got here.
Sure.
You know, some people will still argue that, like, you know what, you know, Carmelo, he's still not on the level of Jokic. But it's like, he was there before Jokic.
Yeah.
And now Jokic kind of has passed him up. Like, it just shows you that how great Carmelo was at certain things.
Oh, yeah. Dude, he's one of the best scorers in NBA history.
Yeah.
He's one of the great all-time scorers, and he'll go into the Hall of Fame for it. Yeah. All right. Shifting gears here. Do we have another clue that Deion Sanders' time in Boulder may be on the clock? Not as crazy as some might think. I'll tell you why coming up next. Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye. Do we have another clue that Deion Sanders could be saying bye, bye, bye to Boulder after this season?
Don't do it to me. Come on, don't do it to me.
Well, we've disagreed on this for a while.
Yeah.
I think this is the last season for Deion Sanders in Boulder. And when I say that, just to reiterate what I've said in the past, this has been a win for both parties. This has been a win for both parties. Even if he is here for 2 years, just because I believe that's the case doesn't mean that it's some big negative thing. That's, yeah. Colorado was so desperate, and they took a flyer, and this past year has been a commercial for the university. Time Magazine, Sports Illustrated, enrollment.
And it's not like he's getting fired. You're just saying that he's just going to move on.
Yes, he's just going to move on. We've never seen him not coach his kids. So I've held that thought for a while now. And I believe I may have another clue. And I know you guys have probably seen or heard this story, but Deion Sanders' daughter, Shalomi Sanders, is entering the transfer portal. And excuse me, her name's Shalomi is how you pronounce it. Shalomi. That doesn't guarantee her transfer, but she's entered the transfer portal. Typically, that means she's looking to leave.
Yeah.
Can you connect dots of this story to my theory that Deion Sanders is 2 years and gone in Boulder?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that, because both his sons are going to be gone. His daughter obviously is entering the transfer portal because she's talked to her dad about things. My thing about it would be, is it that, or is it because she does want to play and she's not going to play in the Power 5 conference? Let's be real.
Yeah.
And so she wants to at least be able to play some basketball, whether it's D2, whether it's another D1 college, wherever it is. She wants to enjoy that, not be in the shadows of her brothers and her dad, and just kind of finish off her little career playing as much basketball as she can before she's done.
Okay. Look, I'm speculating here.
Yeah.
I don't know. But here's what I think I know. Why did she go to Colorado? Because her dad and brother were going to be there.
Yeah.
Her season is going to be starting when their season is ending.
Yep.
And I believe she's got potentially insight as to, oh, am I going to be up in Boulder as the only Sanders? When the football season's over, I'm sure Shador's going full draft mode, as he should. And I'm like not even expecting him to be on campus the second half of the year. I think he's going to be in full draft mode. Nothing negative with that. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, there's no reason to be there.
No. I think the same is going to be with Prime. And I think that she knows this and is like, maybe in addition to what you said, because she doesn't play. And I know, you know, despite her being on the, if you go back and remember Colorado's first game of the year, she was on the Twitter, like, game day.
Yeah. Poster.
Yeah, poster. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm like, uh-oh.
Is she going to play? And she doesn't play. And look, everyone's not going to play. It's a really high level and a really good team within that high level. So just because you're on a Division I team doesn't mean you're a Division I player.
Yeah.
And like, are you on full scholarship? No. Do you play? No. So you're on a Division I team, but
that
you're
not. That even goes for some of the players playing, right?
Sure.
There's some players that you're like, there is no reason why you should be playing right now.
So I'm speculating, but I think this is another clue for me that this will be it, and hopefully it's a great season for CU, and I'm just adding it to the my little file on why I believe this is it for Deion.
See, I can't be with that. I can't tag along with you, Zach. I cannot tag along with you. Deion is going to be here for another year. Another year, and I'm not saying he's going to be here for another 2 years. I think he's going to see this through for another year for different, you know, reasons. I think that he's brought some young men in here that have followed him for a reason. I don't think that he's going and going to get another. If he's done, Zach, he's not going to go get another job. I think he's going to follow his, you know, sons and watch some NFL football.
Yes.
But that's why I think he's staying, because some of these players that he convinced to come here to Boulder is because of him and what he can bring to the table. And if he can have a winning season this year and these kids really, really latch on to him and he latches on to them and he really has something for them like he does for Travis Hunter and his son,
sure,
he's going to stay for at least another year, especially if he wins. He doesn't want this ride to end. It's prime.
I would love that.
Prime is all about himself and what he can bring to the table. And if he wins, why would he just leave?
Well, I hope you're right, man, because this has been a great story. This has been a great story for Colorado sports, and for some people, it's been a great story for them because they want to see it fail.
Yeah.
They want to see it fail. Some people in this state want to see it fail and go up in flames. Selfishly, doing this job got more fun the second Deion Sanders took that job.
Yeah.
And CU football became relevant again the way it hadn't been since you were there the second he took that job. So I'm not rooting for this. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to happen. And that's just me speculating. And by the way, I'm listening to The Morning Show, and they're talking about Deion Sanders taking the Cowboys job, and he's going to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and Shador is going to be playing for him. No.
Now, he could probably take if he takes a coaching job, Zach, it's not going to be, you know, a head coach. Maybe a DB's coach.
And he's not going to do that.
No, he probably won't.
Prime's going to go work for someone as a DB coach.
Well, he knows Jerry Jones well.
Yeah.
You know?
No, for sure. He does. He talked about that. Like, hey, you don't think I talked to Jerry Jones?
But that would be bizarre, though.
Dude, there is 0% chance Deion Sanders is going to be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
So you don't believe?
No, I do not believe. But I'll go back to, what was it, a year and a half ago. I think I might have said the same thing about him taking the job in Boulder, too. I'm like, stop.
Everybody thought that.
I'm like, stop.
Come on, it's Colorado Prime. You know people are talking down about Colorado. He is not taking a job. I was the same way as you.
Yes.
Well, my agent told me, he was like, hey, you know, a little something is, you know, Prime might be coming here. I'm like,
no way.
I'm not listening to that. A month later, Prime's here.
Yeah,
give him my theme music.
Even after he got announced, I'm like, this is a fever dream. There's no way this is happening. But that next layer, next coach of the Cowboys, no way.
Well, I'll tell you this, they're going to need a head coach for next year, especially if they can't get past the first game in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, you're right. Goodness gracious. okay, what would the Colorado Rockies have to do to be the worst Denver sports team of all time? We have the numbers. Details next. Just how bad would things have to get with the Colorado Rockies to make a run, to have a shot, to be the worst Denver sports team of all time?
Oh, Lord.
We'll have that conversation here in just a second. But the Rockies lost again last night to the Cubs by a nose, 12-2. And it was on the heels of getting shut out 5-0 the day before.
That's a long nose, man. That's a long nose. Was it Pinocchio?
Yes.
Is it Pinocchio?
Yes. In the last three games, the Colorado Rockies have been outscored 22-3 in the last three games. They have a field goal in the last three games.
Hold up, Zach. 22-3.
Yes.
All right.
I mean, it's as bad as we've seen. I mean, the Rockies.
We can work with that.
The Rockies have been outscored by 33 runs in just six games. It's one of the worst marks of all time. All right. In fact, it's through six games, it's tied for the sixth worst mark at this point in any season in Major League Baseball since 1901. All right. So this is, we knew they were going to be bad. We knew they were going to be bad.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, they had an F grade.
They did have an F grade from everyone that weighed in on it.
So why are we so shocked?
Because,
I'm shocked.
Because they're even worse than we thought. Because we knew they were going to be bad, but they're actually worse than we thought, which is really hard to do when you're expected to be the worst.
You know what was crazy about this? And I don't want to go, you know, into a rabbit hole, but remember when Drew came in here one day and was like, I can maybe hit Kyle Freeland's
Yeah, he said I could hit, yeah, I could hit Kyle Freeland, yeah.
I think we need to apologize to Drew because I think he can. I think we can.
I'm glad you guys are coming around. Here we go.
Oh, I'm starting to, no. What do you like to call it, Zach? I'm starting to thaw out.
Yeah, I'm starting to thaw.
Oh, man. Oh, here's what the Rockies need to do to keep this on the pace.
Dude, poor Kyle, man. He's getting knocked around.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, by the way, he's the second highest paid player on this baseball team.
Mm.
Kyle Freeland is getting paid $15 million for this season. Now, I don't want to dump on Kyle because we all like Kyle and root for Kyle.
Yeah, good dude.
But he's pitched 5 2/3 innings, okay? So less than 6 innings in 2 games. He has allowed 17 runs on 19 hits in 5 2/3. That is the worst start to a season that I've seen any pitcher ever have. Literally, especially if you narrowed it down and said it's the worst start of a Major League Baseball team's ace.
Hold on, Zach. You said 17 runs to 19 hits?
19 hits, 17 runs in less than 6 innings pitched through 2 games.
Whoa.
Again, second highest paid guy on the team.
Yeah.
You know who the first highest paid is?
Oh, yeah. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for him to get a home run.
Let's start with a hit. Let's start with a hit. Chris Bryant is making $28 million this year. He doesn't have a hit through 6 games. What is he, 0 for 16, is it? 0 for 16. So the two highest paid guys, one's on your pitching staff, one's an everyday player, and this is what the product is looking like.
We're talking about Chris Bryant, who went on the record talking about how everybody around him is pretty much not good.
Yeah.
This man can't even get a hit.
Yeah, basically said so in so many words.
In so many words.
Yeah. He literally doesn't have a hit.
This is disgusting.
It is. It really is. It really is. After 6 games, left fielder Nolan Jones is hitting .087 and has struck out 11 times in 6 games. He's supposed to be a bright spot, Phil. Second baseman Brendan Rodgers is hitting .120 with 7 strikeouts. It's an absolute disaster. And on top of it, they're bad, but last night they became embarrassing. They were down 2-0, or excuse me, 2-0. That would be a fever dream. They were down 10-0, okay? It's the 7th inning, and they hit a home run. It was a Michael Toglia.
Mm, yeah.
Hit a home run at the top of the 7th inning, okay?
Is this where they were chanting?
They were, like, celebrating. They have a celebration set up. Do you see the goggles?
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding. You know how they do, like, a turnover chain?
Yes.
Or, like, whatever? Like, nowadays, like, they got hoops on the sideline. Like, something good, cool happens. Like, you're going to celebrate it.
They're trying to get creative.
Phil, they're down 10-0 in the 7th inning as the worst team in the league. They hit a home run to bring it 10-2, and they had a celebration planned.
Oh my God. You got to be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me.
You can't make that up.
What was the celebration? I didn't even watch the game. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Phil, I didn't watch it either. Didn't watch it either. I actually saw it from Will Peterson on Twitter.
What was the celebration?
It was like ski goggles. They put ski. Did any guys see it?
It's like a ski helmet, you know, that you wear with the goggles on as well. You just kind of go up and down the dugout celebrating with your teammates. Because a lot of Major League Baseball teams have this stuff.
But
not teams that are down 10-0 and are, you know, 1-5.
This is sick, man.
Time and place, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what this is? You know what this is? This reminds me. I'm just take a little shot at the Broncos here. In the last couple years, the Broncos would be, like, getting their head kicked in. And the score would be, like, 27-7. And there'd be a turnover. And they'd run down the length of the field to get in front of the camera with the turnover camera.
The turnover, like, let's go, baby.
They'd be like taking team pictures, like all 11 guys throwing up signs, like they're doing like high fives, like, oh.
Oh, man.
You got a 6-game losing streak.
Yeah. You got to get it. I used to tell the photographer, hey, now make sure you get some good clean shots. You know I'm going to be carrying the ball. I need a couple good ones to put on Instagram.
Oh, my God.
So I can put an inspirational tweet. Speed of storm.
The caption's done, sir. I just need the picture. The caption.
Oh, hey, one of those Colorado Rockies players.
He said, be the storm.
One of those Colorado Rockies players puts a picture of them batting on their Instagram. It's going to be bad.
Oh, my gosh. Just a lack of awareness. I'm like, guys, fellas, No.
Yeah.
No. And so here's the question. How bad would the Rockies have to be the worst Denver sports team of all time? Any frame of reference here? I mean, I like, so through the lifespan of a franchise, you're going to bottom out.
Yeah.
You're going to bottom out at some point.
That's just how
so
it goes.
We talked about this periodically with the Avs, right? You go back to 2016, 17. The Avs went 22-56-4 for a total of 48 points. I mean, that's a winning percentage of, you know, 3.79. So think of like they're winning 38% of their games.
Yeah.
Broncos' worst season in the NFL with a 16-game schedule, 16 or 17, you got to go back to 2010 where the Broncos were 4-12 in Josh McDaniels' second and last year. The Broncos were outscored in 16 games by 127 points in a single football season.
Yeah, that was not a good hiring.
That was not. Uh-uh. That was not. So that's the worst Broncos season of all time. That's a winning percentage of 3-3-3. So they won 33% of their games.
Yeah.
Nuggets' worst season. This is where it gets really interesting.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because as bad as those teams are, the Avs when they bottomed out, Broncos when they bottomed out, when the Nuggets bottomed out, the year was 1997 and 1998. The coach was Bill Hanslick, who is now on the Nuggets broadcast, and with he's got the
mustache.
The mustache, yep. And he's been in Denver forever. He coached the team for 1 year. The Denver Nuggets that season in 97-98, 11 wins and 71 losses.
Now this is when they had the different color jerseys, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've changed their jerseys 3 or 4 times since then.
Yeah, I remember this. Like, I was young, but I remember my parents talking about it.
Drew, do you remember that season? Was that on your radar?
I was old. I was in, I think, high school at that point, so I sort of remember it. I think, wasn't Rafe LaFrenz on that team or something like that, if I remember
like
correctly?
LaFonso Ellis,
Yeah. I think Antonio McDice had moved on.
Yeah.
Kimi Mutombo had moved on. I remember it was bad. And this is just a couple years after they were the first 8 seed to beat a 1 seed.
Yes.
In the NBA playoffs,
correct.
They beat the Sonics, and then they took the Jazz to 7 in the next round.
That was like maybe 4 years
prior.
Yeah,
I think it was 94-95.
Yeah, something like that.
But this was right after.
Dude, 11-71.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The Nuggets started that season 2-38. 2-38. They had a 23-game losing streak from mid-December to January. They had a separate 16-game losing streak, separate from the 23-game losing streak. That's a winning percentage of 1.54. So they were winning about 15% of their games.
Oof.
You know what the Rockies would have to go this year to have a lower winning percentage than that? Their over-under is set at like 59.5. So I'm like, doing it on the calculator. I'm like, what if they won 57? What would it look like? Well, that's 35%. What if they went 50? That's still 31%. The Rockies would have to go 25-137.
Mm.
25 wins, 137 losses to match what the Denver Nuggets did in 1997, 1998. As bad as the Rockies will be, they will not be this bad, right? Right?
Zach, I don't know, man.
Phil, right?
I'm hoping. I'm going to hope. But as long as they continue to keep these players in that locker room and every single one of those players puts on a pair of pants, a baseball cap, we may get to there. We may get to only winning 25 games because who we have coming out of those dugout.
Yeah, no one's gotten hurt yet. Like,
This is sick. It's sick. Put me in the game. Put me in there.
I would
buy
love
me
this.
Some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Goodness gracious. All right, we are watching. They're not going to get there. They can't be that bad. They will not be that
Zach,
bad.
Look,
they will
look,
not be that
look
bad.
Look what we're watching.
They will not be that bad.
My man finally got a home run and put the goggles on.
That was unbelievable. All right, we're watching what it looks like today in the NFL when a team gets it right at quarterback. How can it relate to us here in Denver? That's next.